Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Over That America. This is always a fun time because we connect with our friends in Canada. He's the host of The Late Shift on several radio stations up there, including in Winnipeg, where I'm sure he watched some of the Blues action. Our friend Drex, let's hook up with him now. Let's see here. All right.
And we should be able to say hi to Ryan Recker right now. Ryan, welcome back to The Shift live across Canada tonight.
Hello, Drex. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm well.
You know, I'm feeling it tonight. I'm feeling it.
I got a little bit of heartburn, though. I will say that.
Do you keep the NHL games up in the studio? Do you watch live sports?
I don't. I usually have one of the news channels on. Sometimes Bobby has the sports. Bob was a sports radio producer for years and years and years. So Bob's the sports guy on this show. But we had the San Jose game on a little bit earlier, and everyone was going crazy in the production pit.
It was insane of a game. One of those classic NHL games, one of those instant classics. We got three screens in the studio, so I keep the news networks on. But because we had Cardinals baseball on earlier, one of the TVs were on sports, and then they moved it to the playoffs.
That must be fun, having all those screens. Because I just have, I used to be in a studio that had two. Now we just have the one big one. So I can only watch one channel at a time, which makes total sense in a news talk radio station, doesn't it?
Now, do you turn on things other than news at night? Like, is there a rerun of Seinfeld that'll run in the background or anything like that?
You know what we just did here in Canada, back on the 1st of April? We now are the only country that has a 24-hour Adult Swim channel.
Really?
Yeah, we have a 24-hour channel, and our company owns it, Chorus Entertainment. So occasionally I'll put that on in the studio as well. There might be an episode of Rick and Morty or something like that. Eric Andre, it's good.
I haven't watched that network in many, many years. I used to watch it when I was younger with Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and I can't remember what else was on it.
Space Ghost Coast to Coast with the voice of George Lowe.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was one of their very first ones, and I thought I was really cool because I watched that show.
Oh, you are cool because you watched that. Who told you otherwise?
Well, I was too afraid to tell other people I watched that show. It was completely different than anything else that anyone else was watching.
Now it's all anyone talks about, Rick and Morty. There must be people in your office that talk about how great Rick and Morty is.
Yeah, they'll talk about it, and I don't understand the slang. It seems like they have their own language when they talk about it. I don't understand a word.
Maybe you should go watch the show. Then you'll understand the lingo.
It's like talking to a 23-year-old millennial. I don't understand a word coming out of any of their mouths anymore.
Says the guy who looks like a 23-year-old millennial.
You think I look like a 23-year-old millennial?
Yeah, wow. You look like a kid. You look younger than you really are, I think.
Yeah, I'm 35, and I don't look or feel young. I don't talk young either.
You're 35. You are a millennial.
Well, on the very tail end of a millennial. I actually had a millennial expert on yesterday, and he said there's two very different types of millennials. There's the what they call the Snapchat millennial and the Oregon Trail millennial, you automatically know which one you're a part of, and I'm definitely the Oregon Trail one.
So if you're wearing plaid, you're the Oregon Trail millennial.
Plaid?
Is that how it works?
No, I don't even know who would wear plaid. Do people still wear plaid? Is that a thing?
Yeah, Matt wears plaid. Have you seen a Canadian recently?
I thought that was more flannel.
Flannel, plaid, whatever we can find, really. Anything with a tartan print or whatever, we'll wear it.
I got you.
We're down for that.
Yeah, NHL was pretty exciting, and now that our bet is settled, I'm still trying to find a Blues or Camo X shirt I can send you to wear.
Do you have a department that has those things? Because it seems like you may not. Because we don't. We don't have any Shift T-shirts. But I had organized a sweatshirt from CJOB. I'm going to keep it for myself now.
That's a good idea.
If it ever arrives. But what's going to happen if you don't? You're just going to go to the local store and get a Sharpie and just write KMOX on the front of a blank T-shirt.
Oh, that's a great idea. Get some of that puffy paint and we can just make our own KMOX shirt.
We could bedazzle it. It'd look amazing. I'd start a new new fashion trend for St. Louis, wearing a bedazzled KMOX t-shirt. All your street team members will have to start wearing them too.
Oh, it'll look great. And I'll get you one size too small, and then it'll really look good on you at that point.
That's a bad idea. That's a real... Have you ever gone to a Christmas dinner where there is a strung piece of ham to keep it all together? That's what I would look like in a very tight t-shirt.
Oh, wow. So you make sure there's no mirrors around. You don't want to see yourself. It'll probably be best. So what happens in Canada when there's no Canadian teams left in the playoffs? Do they still watch it, or do they lose interest?
We watch it. Of course we do. We pick a secondary team. Bob, what's your rule when if there's all the Canadian teams out of the playoffs?
I find viewership, everybody decides to go golfing at that point, but everybody still keeps an eye on the playoffs, although it's considerably harder on the West Coast just because when the games start at 4 and 5 o'clock local time in June or late May, it's kind of hard to get viewership when the weather's half decent.
See, there you go. That's what happens, Ryan Reichel.
This is a great sports time for St. Louis because the Cardinals are hot. The Blues are going into the second round. Hopefully we get an announcement about an MLS team, which we've been waiting for.
Yeah, I heard about this, and I saw today, too, is it true that the gymnastics qualifiers for the 2020 Olympics are going to be held in St. Louis as well?
Right, yeah. So the U.S. qualifying for the Summer Olympics, the men's and women's will both be here, which will be really exciting. People love going out to these special sporting events, so I know the crowds will be crazy for it, and it's kind of cool to have that here and be able to see them try out to represent the country.
What happens if you live in St. Louis, but you're a Bruins fan and you decide to wear your jersey? What happens? Do you get chirped by people? Or what?
Maybe a little. You don't see a lot of Bruins fans here. You know, it's funny you mention that because the last Blues game I went to, it was against the Boston Bruins, and there's a handful of fans that were wearing the Bruins jersey. So yeah, you get that at the stadium. You don't see it on the streets, but you get it in the stadium.
Did you grow up a fan of the Detroit teams?
Yeah, so I was definitely a Detroit fan because all of the local channels, of course, you know, you watch the Lions on Sunday lose, and then you'd watch the Red Wings were great for all those years when I was growing up. Even the Pistons were okay, and then towards the tail end when I was in college, they won that championship again. So, yeah, it was fun. And Tigers were always the Tigers. They were always terrible when I was growing up, too, so... I never saw a good Tigers team.
So what happens when you, because you've lived in a few different places to do radio, did you adopt one of the local teams as the team that you would support? Do you do that?
When I lived in Ohio, I could never get on board with Ohio State stuff. There was just way too fanatic, and they're just overboard when it comes to how crazy they are.
One of our Chase producers, Chris Brentling of Grant, he was born in Columbus, I believe, lives here in Canada now, and his desk is a shrine to anything Ohio State.
See, that's the thing. They're way too overboard. In fact, he'd probably disown his family if he had to pick between them or Ohio State. So they're way overboard when it comes to their fandom.
I think he was indoctrinated by his dad, to be honest with you. I think his dad's a massive Ohio State fan as well.
I'm pretty sure they would kill their dog if it meant another championship. Like they would, if they had to choose between the joy of having a dog for the rest of its natural life or another national championship, they'd pick the championship.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty safe bet for most Ohio State fans.
It's good that Ohio has its priorities in
general. But they're all like that. And someone, one of my friends brought up, he said, if you just did a 1% tax on all Ohio State memorabilia, Ohio would be the richest state in the entire country.
Oh, don't give the governor that idea. Come on. Could you imagine? Look, we know that politicians love taxing us, right?
Oh, I know. By the way, how's Canada going? How's everything up there?
Starting to warm up. Things are starting to thaw out.
Did you still have snow in Vancouver?
Well, no, it rarely, if ever, snows in Vancouver. But here's what we're dealing with at the moment. We've got residents in a whole bunch of different places in Quebec that are dealing with flooding. I think there was a 15 or 16 centimeter dump of snow, wasn't it, in maybe Nova Scotia or one of the Atlantic provinces just a couple of weeks ago. The weather's been strange. Like you have Punxsutawney Phil. We have Wyatt and Willie up here in the town of Wyatt in Ontario.
Oh, really?
And I don't know what's going on with these groundhogs, man. They're just screwing everything up. Like, are we going to get a summer? What's the weather like there?
It's nice right now, and it's starting, it's like right in the 70s, which is actually pretty perfect. So, it, you know, it gets up to the 80s some days, but we're getting the storms, the thunderstorms, things like that, the showers that are coming through. You know, I wanted to ask you about your president as well, turning down the invitation to be on The Simpsons. That's quite an invitation, isn't it?
Oh yeah. So, Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, was asked a few months ago if he would voice himself on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
They politely declined to do so. So there's this young guy by the name of Lucas Meyer, who works at a radio station in Toronto. In fact, he's a journalist and reporter and goes out and does stuff on the streets all the time. And I actually had him on the show last night. He works for the opposition radio station, but he came on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to play this for you. Here is him explaining the recipe to get the right mannerisms if you're going to do an impression of Trudeau.
For the prime minister specifically, it's, you know, the way he can, you know, throw his hands up when he's a little bit exasperated. It's when he is talking slowly during his prepared remarks. His ums and ahs are the big one. Mm-hmm. During exchanges with journalists. And, you know, it's the eyebrow raise. And so there's a bunch of little things that that go into it.
And this is him explaining how he got the job.
This past September, I got an email saying, "Hi there, Lucas. This is so-and-so from the Simpsons, and we have an upcoming episode. There's a little bit about the Prime Minister. We saw your work. Would you be interested? And if so, let us know." And I was shocked. I still am, to be honest. And I did an interview that day, a phone audition that day, and then they told me I would know in a week, and I found out the next day that I got it.
Wow, isn't that great?
That's so awesome. Oh, man, so dreams do come true. The Simpsons will call you and ask you to audition for a voice. Now I can hold out hope that one day maybe I can voice a Simpsons character.
And you know what? Because he used to live in Calgary, so his impression of the Calgary mayor, Nahed Nenshi, is spot on. Obviously, there's no reference level for you guys in St. Louis, but it's spot on, I can tell you. And now that he's living in Ontario, he is working on an amazing impression of Doug Ford, their premier, who is the brother of the late Rob Ford, who you guys in the States probably know pretty well. I remember he went on Kimmel a bit as well. This was the crack-smoking mayor of Toronto. You probably remember that story?
Very much so, his brother. Yeah.
His brother is the premier of the entire province.
Wow. Do you do a good impersonation of Justin Trudeau?
No, I do not. Well, I just do anyway in general in my normal radio day because I'm the one guy still on the radio that ums and ahs more than any other word.
Oh, I get it. You know, it's just real. You know, one other thing, because I was listening to your show while I was getting ready to go on for this hour because I can kind of monitor a little bit, and I think you guys probably monitor us a little bit too when we connect
monitor,
the lines.
Don't you worry about that.
You were talking about how you're going to interview the interns. There was a thing that a radio show we used to carry when I was working in Ohio. And it's a radio program in Grand Rapids, Michigan called the Free Beer and Hot Wings Show. So they're like a morning show.
I love those guys. They're hilarious.
Wow, you know about them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of my buddies is a radio consultant, and he is the consultant for the Free Beer and Hot Wings Show.
Is that Greg Moshiri?
What's that? No, it's not Greg Moshiri. No.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious. I thought that he was the consultant there. Maybe not. I thought we might have known someone, a mutual friend or something in the business.
But they are funny, though, those guys.
Well, there's a bit they used to do. I don't know if they still do it. And if you want to torture your interns, this is what you do. I'm going to give you a little tip.
Yeah. Give me the tip.
What you do is you set up interviews, and you don't tell the intern that they're going to be the one conducting an interview until 3 minutes before they're going to do it. So you shove them in a studio, and you say, okay, you're going to interview this person, no prep. Go. And then you, of course, maybe depending if you like the person that's being interviewed, you let them in on it or not, or you just let them do the interview. They normally tank it, then you replay it on the air, and it's so awkward, but it is hilarious.
I'm going to do it. Done. That is the greatest tip ever. I'm going to make them feel uncomfortable because I've done some little sounders up for it. This is what it's going to sound like.
This is the interview.
And there'll be some ominous music playing in the background. I got some pretty crazy questions lined up.
Oh, good. I love that. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be frightening for them and fun for everybody else.
Isn't that the way it should be, though?
Yeah.
Are your interns paid?
No. No paid interns. It goes towards their credits, I think.
You know, they made such a fuss about that here in the United States. The Department of Labor got involved, so you can't really have unpaid interns anymore in radio.
All right, I have to cut you off before they start asking for money.
No. Drex, it's always fun. Thank you.
I look forward to getting my fabulous and bedazzled KMOX t-shirt in the mail.
I can't wait to make it. It's going to be wonderful. Thanks for that idea.
Hey, Ryan, good to chat. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, Rex.
Ryan Recker from...
Isn't that cool? That was our live hookup with Canada. The late shift all across Canada, connecting the United States and Canada the way it should be, through the radio. And I know you can actually listen to this radio station in Winnipeg, but they are in Winnipeg, and that's what spurred our bet between the Blues and the Jets. And whew, now I'm going to have to make them a pretty sweet homemade KMOX shirt to wear. That's going to be fun. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And just like that, the overnights continue and roll on. Always have fun hooking up with Drex. I'm so glad he put that idea on the table that we could create an Overnight America KMOX shirt to send him to wear. And I think the bet was for 1 week, so he's going to look good wearing that puffy paint shirt that says St. Louis Blues on it, KMOX, in hashtag Wrecker Rules with a Z, R-U-L-Z, rules. Bedazzle it. Maybe I'll get my kid to decorate it, too. Oh, there's so many great ideas for that shirt. So I was coming back from the Crevecoeur Park. I went out there with my family today, and that's a really awesome place. If you haven't been to that park in a while, man, go check it out again. Just, it's nice. It's just, it's big. It was beautiful. We wanted to, you know, we were more curious if there would be people out there in the kayaks or using the water, and there was a few. A lot of people running, a lot of people with bikes. You know why my kid likes going there? Because he will ask every person, is it okay for me to pet your dog? And he can't go more than 40 yards without petting a dog, and he can't get enough of it. That is the one place you can go to and get all kinds of love from animals. So we did that today, 40 yards. Can I pet your dog? Can I pet your dog? Can I pet your dog? He was doing so good. Well, he interacted with this one puppy today, and I knew for sure he's going to start asking for a puppy. So I got that to deal with next. Oh, such a cute dog. But on our way back, we drove through fast food. I went to A&W, ordered my meal, and they said, do you want a Twinkie with that? Like, what? I was so off guard. No. Like, when did they start offering Twinkies at fast food restaurants? Wow. I remember we tried the deep fried Twinkie once, and I think that was Long John Silver that did that. And the Twinkie mascot was here and everything. I didn't know they still offered it, but they didn't say deep fried. They just said Twinkie. So maybe some other companies are branching out. All these different restaurants like to do something a little bit different, right? These novelty types of food are fun to me. I love novelty foods. Well, if you're a McDonald's fan, restaurants in more than 100 countries mean there's some variations when it comes to their burgers. Not every item available in other countries are available here. So there's some regional things going on there. Apparently, McDonald's may consider doing the worldwide favorites this summer. So, meaning, according to the Business Insider who's reporting on this, the worldwide favorite menu will include Netherlands, is it Stroopwafel, McFlurry, Spain's Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger, Canada's Tomato Mozzarella Chicken Sandwich, and Australia's Bacon Cheesy Fries. And they have not actually confirm that they're going to be doing this. They said no comment, but it's being reported on as if they're going to give it a try this summer. Isn't that kind of cool? The Stroopwafel McFlurry is made with vanilla soft serve, caramel waffle cookie pieces, and caramel sauce. That sounds pretty good. The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger, quarter pounder topped with McBacon sauce. What is bacon sauce? You know, St. Louis loves its sauces. Like steak sauce, burger sauces, things like that. I hear it advertised on this radio program. Even the Cardinals have the official sauce of the Cardinals. Like it's, I've never lived in a place where there was so much emphasis on sauce, but I've never heard of bacon sauce. What is bacon sauce anyway? The only time I've ever seen anyone do anything with bacon when it comes to a sauce is I used to have a friend that would dip it in maple syrup. If you were eating, for example, French toast and you had a little maple syrup on there, he dipped the bacon in the maple syrup, and that would be all good, but he wouldn't ask for it other than that. There is no, is that a real thing? Is bacon sauce something that people have in their homes? Honestly, has anyone ever heard of bacon sauce, or is that just something that goes on in other countries? That was the Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger from Spain. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Bacon sauce, applewood smoked bacon, Gouda cheese, and onions. Said both are available for a limited time in South Florida right now last fall. So it looks like they were trying it out last year. Kind of like how Burger King was trying out that veggie burger here that everyone loved and couldn't wait to try. Yeah, once you do the trial periods, they roll it out if it's successful. Meanwhile, McDonald's cheesy fries were released in January, limited time. See, if they're already past the trial period, they know they can do these things. You know what else I found? I love these food stories. That other one was from Business Insider. This one's from the blog The Delish. I get a lot of food ideas from The Delish. For $14, you can go buy coffee gummy bears. Isn't that a little bit weird? So there's a company that sells these things. Mini coffee cups bundled with coffee bags you can get as little gifts and things like that. Or for $14, you can get yourself a little bag of coffee gummy bears. That just seems weird to me. I like coffee-flavored things. You know, I like to go out there and maybe there's a coffee ice cream or a coffee candy, but the gummy bears, it's weird to have that gooey coffee stuff, right? I would try it. If it was here at the radio station and someone put it out and said, hey, try one of these coffee gummy bears, I'd try it. I'd do that. But I'm not going to go out and spend money on it, sorry. Maybe one of those toppings for when you go to those frozen yogurt places and you put the toppings of things you like on it. I forgot what that one place is called. All right, you know, there's another story. Maybe I'll get to this real quick. Howard University is over in Washington, D.C. A little bit of controversy going on over there. And their president had to issue a statement regarding dog walkers. But does it actually go further than that? If you don't know what this is about, Patrick in D.C., maybe you're listening right now, he sent me this story in my email, ryan.recker@kmox.com. And I checked it out and I thought, yeah, this is kind of an interesting local controversy over in the D.C. area. Let's cover that next on Overnight America, KMOX. Pretty exciting. Blues second round of the playoffs. Thursday night announced game one will begin at the Enterprise Center, 8:30. Super duper exciting. Not just regular exciting, but super de-duper exciting. All right, so there was a story about Howard University. I don't know much about them in general, so I had to read up on them a little bit. And Howard University are upset. The students, they're upset because they say people that live near the campus have been walking their dog through the campus, and that should be unacceptable. And there has been some controversy around it. And why does everything have to be about race? Because Howard University, predominantly, it's a black university. So it's one of the, what they call, students feel there's a lack of respect going on, and they feel it's because of their race, because of this university has a lot of predominantly white neighborhoods surrounding it, and they walk their dogs through their neighborhood. And they had to do a story on this because even the president had to issue a statement because they feel like there should be some sort of reverence that goes on this campus, and they shouldn't, no one outside of the people that attend this college should be allowed on it, which is kind of fascinating. Now, there's a few interesting parts of this. One, parts of the university are private and parts of the university are public. Obviously, the parts that are private versus the parts that are public play a part into this. And access is a big part of this too, because it's all open, of course. There's not like, guards there that are checking your IDs if you can go in or do that. Is it reasonable for the college campus to say, don't walk your dog through our campus? Or are they overblowing this problem as if there's really the worst thing on the history of the world is that someone walks their dog through a sidewalk or a park or whatever that happens to be next to Howard University? So let me play this from Washington, D.C., Fox 5.
This is heating up on social media and on campus, on the yard behind me. The university is silent so far about its official stance, but students have plenty to say, accusing neighboring residents of using the yard, which is the heartbeat of Howard University's campus, as an outdoor gym or a place to walk their dog. In fact, we're told in recent weeks, some students have taken matters into their own hands and confronted area residents they deem to be disrespecting the campus. Fox 5 was out here on the yard and did not see any non-students on campus. In fact, the only dog walker we saw appeared to be a student.
All right, so they tried to do this and observe this and see if this was really a big issue, and it's really not. Who knows how often this is happening, or maybe it's not happening. But one of the interesting things that I read from a blog that was Blavity.com. Never been to that site before, but I will tell you this. It was definitely not directed towards people like me, because they had things on there like quizzes, for example. Which Black Panther are you? No, I'm not part of that group, but thanks for asking me to take the quiz. You know, I took the quiz, and it crashed at the end. It didn't tell me who I was, so went through those questions for nothing. So it kind of goes to show you, too. Like, here's some of the social media Twitter accounts that they're highlighting for this. It says, historically, Howard was and remains one of the few safe spaces for Black people in our nation's capital, and we refuse to have that compromised by colonizers and dogs. And they're making this into a race thing, as in, you know, and what I've read on these social media accounts, because they have a hashtag, Howard won't move. One of their big things is that, well, since the area around this campus where the students are Black and the neighborhood is white, that the people are trying to, you know, come in and take over their campus or whatever. And they have this, like they said, one of the last few safe spaces. Here, let me play a couple of the people that they interviewed on this Fox 5 DC.
Howard University is a private school, although parts of its campus are intertwined with the district. Several neighborhoods surrounding Howard have undergone recent redevelopment, attracting new, wealthy residents. Residents and students say have shown...
Because it's Washington, D.C., and everything there is overpriced and expensive, and you have to be wealthy to live there. Washington, D.C. is nuts. If you think you can hop over to California and find a place in San Francisco and get a good deal on that, you're crazy to believe that. But, you know, if for some reason you think you can find something in San Francisco, that's a deal. There's zero chance you're going to find that in Washington, D.C. Think about all of the funding that goes into our politicians and the people that live there, all of the lobbyists, and it's just crazy. So Washington, D.C. is like the West Coast of the East Coast. It makes even New York City look pale in comparison.
Shown disregard for the yard's historical significance.
The yard is for the students, and although everyone loves pets, I feel like it's disrespectful to have the pets just running around, especially when there are several parks around here. If they come on the yard and they're just walking through, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I still feel like there are other ways to get around D.C. without having to cut through a college campus.
They're in part of...
You know, let me mention, do you have that neighbor in your neighborhood that gets upset with you using something that is public area? I think every neighborhood has one of those people. You know, they'll put up the signs or whatever on their yard and trying to shame people because they don't want people driving through their street or something like that. Or they'll have like a walkthrough, or what are those things called? It's like a public walk area that's like common ground. A lot of times you see them in these different subdivisions that are controlled by an association, and it might lead you to maybe a playground or a retention pond or some sort of walkway. And normally it kind of goes through two different houses, but if the houses, even though it is a common ground for that neighborhood, they don't like people walking by their house. So they'll try to block it off, or they'll try to yell at you or discourage you if you go back and take part in one of the areas that you have access to, and they try to make it sound like you're trespassing when you're really not. It sounds like it's one of these issues where they have just some people taking issue. It may not actually be a big problem. They may be stepping over their bounds a little bit, but then they try to bring the race issue into it and saying that this wouldn't be a problem, you know, if this wasn't the last place where they could be in a safe space. So they try to play that to it. And why does everything have to come down to race all the time? I kind of understand what they're saying. If it's a private area, then it's a private area. But a lot of the areas, they make it sound like it's not a private area. It's like, you know, just kind of going through or whatever. I don't know how long Fox 5 was out there in the D.C. area. They could have been there for, you know, 10 minutes or whatever doing a stand-up. But most of the time when a major television operation goes out to report on something and they're doing a stand-up, they got to get out there at least half hour to an hour early to set up and wait for their cue. And if they're there for an hour and a half, hour, whatever it may be, and they got a couple of hits that they're going to do through their newscast for a few different times, then if they don't see anyone in an hour, you know, it doesn't mean a lot, but it could tell you, it could indicate that they don't have a big problem going through there. I'm glad Patrick in D.C. decided to send this to me. So the president issued a statement and basically said that, hold on, let me read it. We recognize that service animals are a necessary aspect of modern day life, and we will accommodate them as needed. But we appreciate pet owners respecting our campus and not bringing pets into the private areas. It was just fine. That's perfectly fine thing to do. I'm going to guess a lot of the different students and things don't know the difference between the private and public areas, and they may be a little bit upset if they're in an area that's public that, you know, even though that's predominantly used by them, may feel like they're being invaded or whatever. But, hey, you know, public space is public space. There's not a lot you can do with that. That's funny. That's the thing that Washington, D.C. is fighting over right now. Of all the problems that start in Washington, D.C., this is the big thing. And, of course, the people on social media are making this into a big deal, too. Thank you for Patrick in D.C. sending that to me. Now I know it's not just in D.C. It's everywhere that has their problems. Hey, we got our own problems here in St. Louis we need to solve, too. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
The state of the air is out. I just saw this drop on the CBS Newswire. The American Lung Association released its annual State of the Air report today, Wednesday. Ooh, brand new news. Included the National Air Quality Report Card that assigns grades to counties across the nation. You wondering how St. Louis did? So it reports also ranks cities most affected by widespread types of pollution. Steve Futterman with CBS News.
The 20th annual study finds some things stay the same.
Los Angeles has been at the top of our list for almost every report we've done.
LA tops the list of cities with ozone pollution. Two other California cities, Bakersfield and Fresno, top the list when it comes to particle pollution. Janice Nolan is the author of the report. As for some cities with little or no pollution,
Bangor, Maine, Burlington, Vermont, Honolulu, Hawaii.
The three-year study found 141 million Americans live in areas with major air pollution problems. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Air pollution in St. Louis and St. Louis County. What are you thinking right now? Who has worse pollution, St. Louis City or St. Louis County? According to the American Lung Association, place your bets. St. Louis County, F. St. Louis City, C. Oh. So the city actually has better conditions when it comes to air pollution. Well, I wonder why the county is worse than the city. Why do you think that's so? That kind of surprises me a little bit. Let's go through a couple of them that actually reported. So let's see. Taney County, an A. Way to go. Perry County, a B there. Monroe County, an A. Lincoln gets a B. Jefferson gets a C. Jasper gets an A. Greene County gets an A. Clinton, Clay, there's a C and a D, an A for Cedar, B for Cass, B for Callaway, A for Boone County, and B for Andrew County. The rest of the counties in the state did not report, so there's a whole lot in here that kind of goes off of that. You know, let me flip over to Illinois and let's see how Chicago did. You want to take a guess there? Go ahead, let's take a gander and see what it shows. All right. So DNC, yeah, did not contribute. Cass County did not contribute. Champaign County gets a B. What county is Chicago in? Let me kind of go through here. There's some Fs on here. Madison, McHenry. Sometimes I get them mixed up. Maybe they were not on here. All right. Well, there we go. F from the American Lung Association. St. Louis County. You should be ashamed of yourself. Or just take care of yourself when you're out there. Oh, Kevin Kleen has a whole nother story. We haven't played one of those in a little while. Then got another one. Oh, I love these whole nother stories.
Because it's St. Louis, we're also Missouri's only comic book store bar.
Martin Costas is the owner of Apotheosis Comics and Lounge at 3206 South Grand.
We've had to learn how to be a bar and comic book store at the same time because, you know, water and paper don't mix, obviously.
You ever have to say, now please put that rare Superman aside while you drink that beer?
Yeah, yeah. sir, that comic book is not a coaster for your Budweiser, please.
A year ago, the 38-year-old Casas was working downtown in the mayor's office. In the hornet's nest, he was answering the phones from upset constituents.
You know, my job at the mayor's office was I was the constituent services person. So anybody who came in and had a problem anywhere in the city, I had to deal with it. So it was a lot of angry people who were confused. Big people who come to a comic book store are happy. You know, they all have their DC versus Marvel debates, but it's not like life or death. So that's pretty great.
Yeah. How's your blood pressure now?
The store not only serves beer, but hosts events, book readings, comedy performances. Casas is working to make the comic book more a part of life in the iPhone age.
Has the iPhone heard comics?
It did in the past. I mean, now I think what's happening is that they miss that tactical feel. I mean, that when you crack open a book, like, what is the best thing about a book? It's the smell, right? It's like it carries nostalgia. This one actually takes place in Tower Grove.
We walked around the shop and looked at some of his old comic books on display. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and other superheroes looking down on us. Some are framed for display like works of art in a museum.
Not only is it a great story and it's a, you know, the paper and the nostalgia, but it is actually like really beautiful artwork that you can't get anywhere else. And so comics as artwork is something that we really try to push here.
I was looking at one old comic book in the flip-through box in the back of the store, and it smelled sugary sweet. Maybe somebody earlier had spilled a little Budweiser on it. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
How about that, Kevin? There's, I guess, a little bit of something always exists out there. You know who my favorite superhero is? It's a superhero called One Punch Man. I think he's just fantastic. So it's this webcomic that was started in Japan. And the idea of it is this one regular average day Joe decides one day he wants to be a superhero. They live in this fictional world where there are superheroes and powerful ones and not so powerful. There's supervillains. There's all these different things. So he trains for 3 years by doing sit-ups, push-ups, and running. And he gets to the point where he is the most powerful superhero. And no one kind of believes that he's a powerful superhero because he's just very lacking in intelligence. But he can defeat any enemy in one punch. That's his superpower. One punch. Boom. Well, he becomes so powerful he's bored by it because no one challenges him. So he hates being a superhero. Well, he likes it, but he's always looking for a challenge. But there's no such thing out there for him. It's actually a pretty cool little commentary of a superhero. All right, enjoy the rest of your night. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.